Good evening, our gorgeous, sexy, glamorous, beautiful, brilliant friends. We are gathered here for a seance of truth, if you will. La, la, la. Thank God I ate before this one. I just told Brock.
Hey.
I just told Brock, maybe some of these episodes I could call them Lights On, Nobody Home. And it only happens when I don't eat a full meal beforehand. Yeah.
Jersey Mike's was on the way, but we were like, we can get through the episode. And about 30 minutes in, Morgan just kind of looked at me and said, take it away. And I was like, I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, I knew I was done when I was telling my own personal anecdote. And I said, you tell them, Brooke.
You do it. Literally, I was waiting for her to tell the story. She goes, well, you could tell it. I was like, uh-oh. I was like, okay.
No, I swear things get unplugged in my brain when I haven't eaten lunch or dinner yet.
That's
and
valid,
I just
though.
Can't think of a proper thought. However, we found a gorgeous new sexy game. And I have to give them a lot of credit.
Yes.
These cards are thick.
They feel good.
They feel really nice in the hand. It is called Sip or Spill. And I thought that we could have another little truth or drink round so you could get to know our inner, deepest, darkest secrets yet again. We are joined with two different beverages for whatever you prefer, because I'm not going to force anyone against their will to be chug-a-lugging shots at 7 p.m. Yeah.
Can you imagine? It's Sip or Spill tequila shot edition.
Well, I think people who are hardcore do it like that. I don't know if we're that hardcore.
Thoughts and prayers to the bubble guts, because my God.
Maybe on my birthday. That's the only day I take shots.
Whoa. The thought of taking a shot might end my life.
You can feel it. I can feel it in my butthole. Yeah. No. We have fuel drinks, and Brooke was like, oh my God, Morgan, the color of that drink is so pretty. And I'm like, I know. It looks like it could kill me in a lab. It looks like where Homer Simpson works. It looks like it would fuel a nuclear plant.
Have I ever told you you're funny and beautiful? Have I ever told you you're funny and beautiful? Oh,
and Brooke has upped my confidence. I'm experimenting with a darker lip only because she told me that I could.
No, it is the prettiest thing. Because you have such nice lips that you should accentuate them.
That is really nice of you. I've always been afraid of it just for reasons that I can't explain, but maybe life is about trying new things.
No, you look amazing.
And can I tell you guys, we went to the mall the other day. We did a 6-hour mall walk, okay? Mm-hmm. We went with our friend to the mall. We make it to the last stop, Aerie, and while Brooke is in the dressing room, I wish you could have been here, because these shirts that we love, they're from Aerie. This is our second edition, the swimsuit version. Our first one was lingerie.
Spring break edition.
Spring break edition. I met a girl at Aerie that had this t-shirt in her hand on the hanger, and she was like, oh my God, I came to Aerie to get the same t-shirt that you guys were wearing on the podcast, and I'm holding this in my hand. I'm like, oh well, thank God, now we have the same one. And you were in the fitting room.
Dang,
you missed it.
Dang it.
But if you need the best t-shirt of all time, Aerie will be where you find them.
I have been getting an obscene amount of their clothing. Like, their sets are my favorite thing. Like, I have this set. I've got like 5 of them at this point. Their sleep shirts are amazing. Aerie, we love you. Wow. I really, that was such a genuine, that was
the episode
that came from the heart.
A love letter to Aerie.
Aerie, love you, girl. Been wearing your bra since middle school.
Ooh,
anyways.
La, la. Ooh.
Well, speaking of our intimates, should we get into these cards?
Yes, I'll let you do the honors. You can pull the first card. I might take a prerequisite.
Ooh, la, la. Okay. We're starting off very, very tame.
Okay.
What skincare item would you take with you if you were deserted on an island? Like, what's your one thing you can't live without?
Oh. You go first.
I've been recently back on them, and I really do love the way they make my skin feel. First Aid Beauty Facial Radiance Pads.
Ooh, she gave me some of those today. Mm-hmm. I tried it. That shit does slap.
And I've been using them in my routine, like on and off, for many, many years. But I saw this girl on TikTok say that that's like her secret sauce to amazing makeup. Like, she uses one of the facial radiance pads before she does her primer. And I was like, girl, I have those. Like, let me try that. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
They are good. I tried one today, and I will say, I think I'm going to buy some. I am a fan. Mine would be the La Roche-Posay Cicaplast B5 Balm, because I think if you're on a deserted island, you could use the water to get your face clean. You know, you could go for a little ocean swim. But once you're sitting in the sun and your face is dirty, oh, I hate the feeling of having dry skin. And that will make you a little baby butt.
Actually, you've inspired me. I would like to rescind my answer, although those do flip and slap. What is that green stuff you put me onto?
Oh, the Dr. Jart.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. It's a green balm and it's like, yes. It's a color corrector. Oh my gosh. The Dr. Jart. Maybe that's what's called Cicaplast. I'll put a picture of it here. I'll put a link in the description below, but it is the best stuff of all time because it has SPF and it's a moisturizer and everybody knows my personal beef. As a lady that has had skin cancer twice, I am sick and tired of every single person on planet Earth coming out with a skincare line. And what is always missing from the skincare line? Why is there no sunscreen? What the fuck is wrong with you guys? That is the most important part. You go to any dermatologist in any state of America, they're going to tell you, you need a retinol and a sunscreen, and that will get you through your entire life. And then people come out with all this bullshit of like, it's a seaweed scrub. Not going to do shit for you. You need to protect your skin from the sun. You got to put the SPF. I try to bully everyone into SPF. I'm an SPF freakazoid.
I hate the feeling of sunscreen. Like, I hate everything about it. The stuff that Morgan put me onto, she's like, you should try this. It was in her bathroom. It's the one thing I wake up in the morning and put on because it... First of all, if you have like a fair complexion, like I have such pale skin, but I don't like to wear, like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm particular with how my skin feels. Mm-hmm. It's like better than a foundation for me because it is the SPF, it's moisturizing.
The color correction.
It's so good. It's so good.
It is so damn good. And if you are also a type of person that hates the feeling, because sunscreen is kind of greasy feeling. Yeah. It doesn't leave you with like a greasy white cast. Highly recommend for those of you who refuse to wear SPF.
It's also not drying. I feel like sometimes those like clay balms can be like kind of dry and like flaky. He did his big one with that.
Dr. Jart do have the secret sauce.
He did
sauce.
His big one.
Oh, well, that was fun. That was fun. My rant about SPF.
No, bro. Important.
I am so effing sick and tired. I try to get every man on planet Earth on sunscreen and they just simply don't care. And it enrages me. My dad tried. Everyone on Earth, I'm like, sunscreen, please. I'm begging. I'll buy it for you. I will send you an Amazon subscription. I will do it for you. They don't care. None of them care. And none of my friends wear sunscreen either. And it's just, it's something I have to let go. But I just don't want anyone to have skin cancer.
I don't go in the sun. Like, I avoid the sun like a vampire, but you're the one who put me on to how windows can also impact your skin. So I've been doing the Dr. Jart in the morning for you.
And the psychotic seed that I have in my brain, I won't even look outside of a window until I have sunscreen on in the morning.
Valid.
I don't want to age rapidly. I'm okay with the idea of aging, but if I can do anything to slow the process, I'm all in.
Well, and also you've had your run-in with skin cancer. You have... every single reason to be more cautious than most.
Well, fun fact that nobody cared about, the number one place that people get sun or skin cancer is on the tippity tops of their head because nobody puts sunscreen on the tippity top of their head.
Which freaks me out because I have a freckle that's there now.
Maybe you should go get that looked at.
It's a new one.
Anyway, there's my rant bullying you all rant. To go to the reminder, get your skin
public
checked.
Service announcement.
Spill, what's the meanest thing you've ever said to someone? Oh, we're getting personal. Oh, we're not the victims.
Oh my God.
What?
I think I said it to you.
Oh. Recently?
No. And it's not something I meant in a mean way, but like,
oh, I know exactly what it is.
Ages later, you said it hurt your feelings. And I was like, oh, like I didn't mean to hurt her feelings.
Is it when you slammed the car door and said, Morgan, want more for yourself? It was aggressive, but she was going through a hard time. So I forgive her.
She was seeing this guy who like wasn't picking her. And like you guys were in a kind of situationship and like I hadn't seen you in a while. So I didn't know the backstory of like who she was seeing and how much she liked him and like all the lore. All I was hearing was in the moment they were in was like, kind of negative and like stressful for her. And I was like listening to her for a couple hours. And then finally I was like, girl, want more for yourself. Like I can't like, this man isn't treating you like a princess. And for me, I didn't mean it in like a mean way, but she later was like, that was so, it hit deep. And I was like, that was not my intention.
Yeah,
but
I don't think she realized how fresh the like breakoff
definitely
was.
Definitely not.
It was like a Friday we decided we weren't going to see each other anymore. A Sunday I saw Brooke and I was like.
And I didn't even know the guy existed. Like it had been a while since we had seen each other. So yeah, that was, I think about that sometimes.
It was also 2021 and we all know what happened to my family that year. So I was already in a distressed place. So anything anyone would have said to me would have sent me over the edge. So perhaps it wasn't you.
That's the other thing too, is sometimes intention doesn't really matter. It's the impact that matters. So like you can intend not to hurt someone all day long, or you can intend your advice or your opinion to like be productive or constructive. And that really doesn't matter. It's the impact of how that made someone feel. So I still, even though I didn't mean it in a mean way, I still would put that in a category of a mean thing to say because it hurt you. And that's what matters to me. Cause I would, that like made me sick. Like, cause it was years later.
It was many years later
that you were like,
that I confessed.
You were like, that hurt my feelings so bad. And I was like, I knocked the wind out of me. I was like, it like makes my palms sweaty even thinking about it now.
But look how far we've come.
I just love you.
And I think we were both going through a hard time.
I just love you. I'm sorry again. Hey, sorry again.
And we both start crying again.
Not again.
Don't worry. I forgive all. I don't think it was that deep of a cut.
What's the meanest thing you've said to someone?
Oh, the meanest thing that I've ever said to someone? That's a good question. You know, I had a run-in. This is just the most recent one that I can think of.
Ooh.
And I am very well-mannered, I would like to think you are. Guys. I have a very soft spot in my heart for people who are just simply working and then other people who are getting frustrated at the people working who are doing their best. I think it's because I had so many like retail jobs or restaurant jobs that I have a specific empathy that you can only gain from being in those positions, right?
You have an intense amount of patience too. Like, I feel like you do a really good job giving patience to people.
I do. Because if you're looking at someone and they're just simply doing their best and a store is overcrowded, like it's not their problem. Huh. I always tell my parents, like if you're yelling at someone on a customer service line, they're just the customer service person. Mm-hmm. Like they are not the villain causing the problem. Anyway, it's a whole deep thing. And I think it's because I was yelled at a lot at a Blackstone Country Club that I worked at where many mean adults were just yelling at me all the time. So
you were just a teenager.
I was just a teenager. I went to my local post office. Keep in mind, there is only one post office within like a 30-minute radius out here. So typically around lunchtime, the post office is booming. And I see the same damn five people slaving away at this post office for like a very large county every time I go there. Like it's been the same people for years and years and years. I have grown fond of these people at the post office because I know them. I do my Depop orders a lot. Like I go there a lot. So I'm standing in line and it's lunchtime and the line is getting very, very long to the point, you know, when like everyone's standing like around the counter.
Yeah.
So everyone's kind of waiting because it's lunchtime, which means there's an influx of people coming in. And also the people who are working all damn day delivering packages for you, they have to take a lunch break. Oh my God. Can you believe it? They have to take a lunch break.
You're kidding.
They have to eat. Shocking. Oh, I know. So there was one old man that I am very fond of working at the front desk of the post office doing, you know, all the things that people need.
It's complicated.
And he was having a complicated order at the front and everyone could hear that the lady was getting kind of nasty with him. La 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 la. At my old man at the post office, I was ready to throw hands. Then the bitch behind me. Oh, I could have socked her in the face, Brooke. She kept like verbally grunting, rolling her eyes, like, do they not think we have places to be? La 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 la. She's trying to like make eye contact with people in line, you know, to like talk shit on the man working. I turn my ass around and I say, why don't you apply for a job here if you could do it so much better? man that I live at the post office because that man knows that I never show up with tape and you're supposed to show up with tape and he lets me use his tape and I would die for that man. And I looked this bitch in the eyes and I said, why don't you apply for a job if you would be so much better?
That is so out of character for you.
It is the most out of character, like bitchy thing I have ever done. But I stand behind it and I would die for that man at the post office. Fuck you, bitch.
Go you.
Bitch, if I see you on the street, I will throw hands.
It's on sight.
Because he's so old. If you... Oh, it breaks my heart.
If you think you could do it so well, apply for a job. And then, girl, that's so good.
And I'm sure that I've hurt a lot of people's feelings. I'm sure I hurt Brooke's feelings just the other day at the mall.
Girl, listen, I think the thing is like it, the energy behind something. You know what I mean? Like you said that, I wouldn't even classify that as bitchy. I would classify that as checking someone. Like,
I was defending my community. Yeah,
like, I think bitchy is like going out of your way to be mean to someone. That was straight up just, that was like pointing at someone being a freak loser. You're being
loser.
A freak loser. Like flip and relax, dude. Like it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
One thing about me, I will always defend the worker.
I love that.
And yeah, I'm sure I've said a lot of really bitchy things, especially to my brother, probably to my mom.
Yeah.
To my family for sure.
Oh, my poor sisters and parents. Like,
yeah. But who wants to talk about that? Let's bully the bitch at the post office.
And I want you to know right now, I'm taking a glug of that.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever clogged a toilet somewhere other than home? If yes, spill.
I don't know if I have.
I don't think I have, but on the off chance that I have, and I don't want to talk about that, I'm drinking.
You know what's always interesting to me though? TMI alert. Because I'm really like a at home girl. I like mm-hmm. to wait till I'm at mm-hmm. home. Do you ever get back from a vacation or like a long trip? And as soon as you walk into the four walls of your house, it all hits you. Or pull in
the driveway.
Yes. And it's like an emergent state. Why does that happen? I tried to put it in ChatGPT and it was like, I think you're just comfortable at home.
Yeah, it's like you're comfortable at home. It's like your safe place.
But why does all of it sit there until you're at home? And how does the poop can't see? How does it know you're at home?
Your brain and your brain is signaling
you're
to
you. You're right. It's your nervous system. Damn.
Dang it. It's not a conspiracy.
I hate that you're smarter than me. Brooke.
I am not smarter than you.
No, you are. And that's okay.
I don't think I'm smarter than you. I think intelligence can be weighed in many, many ways. I think you are way smarter than me in many other elements of life.
Brooke retains information like you would not believe.
I just have really niche interests. And that's
why she's going to be starting a YouTube channel.
Yeah. Literally all I do is consume documentary and like niche. And like, I need to know everything.
I love that about you. You're my most interesting friend because I always learn so much when I'm with Brooke and I love it. She exposes me to many fun facts. Have you ever had a secret hookup that you kept from your friends? Oh, did you pick this card for me?
Yeah. We went through the box and we're like picking out some good ones and I went, and yep.
Okay, by secret, do we mean that sometimes I just delay the information
until
it feels like an appropriate time?
Yes.
When would you like to be relayed the information? Like
immediately. immediately. Why are we whispering? My favorite thing that she'll do, she'll pick me up from the airport when I come on my monthly girls trip. She'll pick me up from the airport and sometimes she'll have a sneaky little guilty look on her face. And I'll know in my heart that we're going to sit down at our favorite restaurant, order a large soda, and she's going to spill. And I can't wait for that time because over the course of the month, she goes quiet. She gets quiet on me. We don't text about the good stuff.
It's because I want to see your beautiful expressions in person.
Well, don't get used to it, Blondie. I'm getting Botox when I get home. I'm getting Botox when I get home. There, I said it. Enjoy my facial expressions while they last, people. They're going away.
They'll still be there. But I think you can get it in a way that you don't freeze completely, you know? Yeah. We don't have to look like statues.
Yeah. God, I hope I don't get botched. Yeah.
You will not get botched. I will not let that happen. I will personally suck the Botox out of you.
That's really nice of you.
And my favorite thing that happens is I will tell somebody, someone that's sitting to my right, a piece of information, and she will say, why didn't you tell me this? And I'll say, I'm telling you right now. Do that to everyone. I'm like, when is a better time to tell you than when I'm ready to tell you?
It wasn't a secret. It was just delayed. I'm like, girl, it was...
I am an in-person spiller.
You wait for a time when the information is going, like, she chooses to share information where, like, when we're in public and she knows I can't. She knows the reaction will be quelled. Like she spilled some tea to Maddie when we were in the Skims store. And I was like, what? Morgan kept walking. She was like, I gotta go find a size. And I was like, hello?
Is that the same day I was talking about letting a man impregnate me so I could be an SMBC? Because
it was.
I was talking about potential suitors of men that I could have, that I could give them a contract. Okay.
Well, actually, this all started because we walked into the Zara kids section. Wrong decision.
Wrong choice for two girls that don't have kids.
Two baby fever girls. Zara kids section.
Picture this. Brooke is a step ahead of me in life, which is great. I'm happy for you. I love your husband. I'm happy for you. However, the reality of her having kids is soon. The reality of me having kids, I'm a few steps behind. And if I want to be going on stroller walks with my best friend, like my brother and Lizzie do, I got to get cooking. And then I was like, OMG, I forget her name, but there's a celebrity. Lizzie could tell us who it was. And she was like, none of these men are living up to my standard. I am an SMBC. I am going to have a sperm donor and I am just going to mom it out. And I was thinking, I have everything. This is probably an ignorant take and no, I probably won't do it. But could I rally the troops together, mom and grandma? Could we do it? I think we could. And then I could stroller walk with Brooke. So I was talking about potential men that I think could be my baby daddies.
I have a really good
Spencer
news for
might
you.
Be one of them.
Spencer was at the top. And if we told you Spencer was at the top of the list, would you be mad? Would you guys be really mad at us?
Tell me. Everyone's going to be like, now you're objectifying Spencer in the workplace.
HR nightmare. We are an
Spencer
HR nightmare.
Spencer wants to be objectified.
Yeah.
If I handed Spencer a contract that said, hey, you don't have to do the actual intercourse. Give me a turkey baster.
Yeah.
I will have the kid. You have no responsibility forevermore. You don't even have to ever acknowledge that this ever happened ever again. Do I think he would sign it? I think he would.
Listen, I have really good news for you. I want an army. I literally want an, I want an army of children, God willing. So we will have plenty of overlap. Don't you literal worry.
Okay, that we have talked. The more realistic approach is I will probably have my first when Brooke is having her second or third.
Yes, and that is going to be awesome.
And then my oldest will have like an older sibling.
And that as the older sibling, that older sibling is going to be like older sibling final boss. Like poor, I just have this.
You are older sibling final boss.
I am older sibling. It's the eldest of four daughters with like no... Like, I didn't grow up with super close older cousin friends or older cousins or, like, older, like, friends who had older sisters. Like, I was, full stop, the only older sibling. So, talk about trial by fire. And
you are a firecracker. You are a force.
Thank you, girl. But, no, I care deeply because I'm like, oh, I wish someone cared like this for me. Like on the Tron, I was telling everyone what to do if they get chronic UTIs. If you want to know the answer, go over there. I was like, hey, real quick, I'm going to older sister you guys.
I have learned so much from you, Brooke, because I don't have older sisters.
Sometimes I'll be older sistering and Morgan goes, you're doing it again. You need to stop. And I'm like,
no, but I think, okay, if you don't know, I am a youngest sibling. Brooke is an oldest sibling. Mm-hmm. I think that's why our dynamic works because we feel at home with each other because I'm like, oh, there's someone that will handle shit. Yes. And Brooke's like, oh, there's someone that I can like show them the ropes, you know?
Well, and
not in a degrading way, in a helpful way. But I learned so much from you.
I find that youngest siblings are actually the hyper independent ones. Like my youngest sister is the most hyper independent one of all of us. And that's how you are too, where it's like you see your older siblings and you kind of get to observe how things are done. And you're like, I don't even need anyone to tell me. I'm just going to do it. I feel like the middle siblings sometimes can be the ones that are like, do it for me. Whereas the younger ones are like, I got this. Like, watch. That's you and Kate actually have so much in common in that way.
It is my greatest blessing in this life that I'm the youngest sibling because if I was the oldest, our family would be lost in the sauce. I had one brother that said, this is how you YouTube. I had another brother that said, this is how you finance. Go. I didn't have to learn
and look
anything.
At you now.
I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to learn. I was shown by the pros.
That's.
And you're like the one that has to pave the way. I feel like that's a lot of pressure.
I watch a lot. Like I learned so much from honestly you and my sister Kate in the way that you are so self-assured. That's something as an older sibling, I feel like I'm constantly like looking to like my parents or looking ahead to be like, okay, is this how it's done? Like, did I do it? I'm like constantly like, was that good? Like, tell me I did a good job. Well, like, was that a good job?
Yeah, because you have people looking up to you.
Right. It was a pressure.
I feel like that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments below if you are a oldest, youngest, middle, or solo child.
I married a youngest child. So
I think that's your key in life. I think like, screw the Zodiac thing. You need to, you're most compatible with the youngest siblings because you're comfortable as the older sister.
It's either, there's a whole book on it, like birth order. And
is
like,
there?
Yes. Have you ever never looked it up?
No. Morgan, me and my brothers so would fun. Love that.
That is so fun. Yeah. There's a whole psychology of birth order and like, birth order with girls and boys. Oh yeah, it's so good and it's so accurate. But the thing is, like older sister or older sibling can be with another older sibling or a youngest sibling, but not a middle. Obviously, this is all like relative. Like you obviously can do whatever you want, but like in this book, this is the ideals. It's like older with older or older with younger, not with middles. Middles are good with middles specifically.
That makes sense.
And then youngers are not good with other youngers.
Because they both have to be like the baby princess.
Yes. And so the youngers are good with like pretty much olders. And I don't really know the dynamic with the middles. But yeah, anyways, it's a whole thing.
Something that I have realized about myself in the past year, I am particularly annoying when I'm around my brother.
Mm.
And I think because when I'm at home, I have to be so hyper independent. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have to take out the trash. I have to do everything. I have to make sure the doors are locked. Like all the household things that have to be done, I have to do them. All the camera angles, like everything that has to be done. It's a one woman show, except for when Brooke's here. Then I go to my brother's house and I'm like, oh,
this
hell
is the life.
Yeah, this is the life.
This
because
is nice.
Not only can my brother do it, he's going to do it better than me and he's going to do it confidently. And I'm going to sit back and relax. And I've noticed people comment in like my brother's videos and they'll be like, why is Morgan so damn annoying when she's around her brother? And I'm like, it's because I'm in younger sister mode. Yeah, I don't have to be hyper independent. It's like being on vacation. I'm like, he's going to set up my light for me. He's going to set up the camera for me.
Yeah.
He's like, Blondie, Princess. Say this, thumbnail this. And I'm like, oh, this is nice. I like it here.
I am excited for you to find your partner in life. Because
me too. Can we make
it quick? I am curious to see like, how your nervous system reacts to having some, because that when you list all those in my head, I know this is like terrible, but I'm like, those are boy jobs. Like locking the doors, that's Jacob's job.
Oh,
like,
I have to do
taking
so
the garbage
many boy
out,
jobs.
Like boy job. Like it. I'm excited to see you blossom.
It is
someday.
such a blessing and such a privilege to be able to be a woman living by herself. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a chapter that I will cherish forever because I do think about things as like, I was telling Brooke the other day, chapters are so temporary. And when we're in something, we feel like it's forever.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you blink and it's 10 years later and you're like, oh,
life
everything
was so
is different.
Then.
But the only downside to living alone, you have to do all the boy jobs.
Yeah.
Oh my God, when the water and the power and everything went out the other week, I had to call a plumber. Are you kidding me? I had to talk to him in my basement. You're joking. I said, Dad, the plumber's coming. He was like, okay, talk to him. Huh? Huh? Yeah,
that makes me sad.
It teaches you a lot, but I think it teaches you confidence and like, if there's an issue, I can get it handled. However, when I'm at my brother's house, I don't have to get anything handled. And that's why I might be slightly more annoying.
That's
there.
How I am with my husband. I'm like, I can do this.
But
definitely,
I'm not gonna.
But I don't wanna. And like, that's a really privileged place to be.
No, there is beauty to every chapter of life, I think. Take
did
the next card.
Get there from the toilet clogging story?
We did.
That is beautiful.
And guess what? I could unclog my own damn toilet if I clogged it.
Have you ever been in a physical altercation with a girl? If so, spill.
Well, all I can tell you about this is Brooke and I were talking about the hypothetical if we got in a fight last night. And I said, I hope that never happens because you would kick my ass. I would roly-poly so fast.
We were like, I forget what happened. But Morgan's like, if we ever got into a fight, I just know you would beat my ass. And she said it so like matter of fact. I was like, what? I have been in a physical altercation with a girl. I have.
Something tells me it was at Christian school.
No. No. I was living in LA and there was an era of my life where I was really involved in the EDM community. So I was like making, like, I was working with producers and singing and writing on like a lot of their tracks. And there was a label at the time. I don't even think it's around anymore, or it might be, but I don't know anything about it these days. And I got invited to a show they were doing by this girl who was very, she was like a DJ kind of affiliated with their label.
Okay.
And so she was one of the opening acts of the show. And she's like, hey, like you can grab a bunch of your friends and come like backstage to this, to the show we're doing at the Belasco. And I was like, okay, cool. So I grabbed a bunch of my buddies. I was so excited. And we were invited by this girl, let's call her, I don't know, Sabrina. We were invited by Sabrina, that may or may not be her real name. And
right.
We were invited by her, but unbeknownst to me, her friend mentioned by name, hey, invite that Brooke girl because there was a big DJ that was interested in working with me. I was like, okay. Great. So I didn't know.
This is Los Angeles, yes, baby. This is what dreams are made of.
This is showbiz, baby. And so I kind of knew that this guy wanted to collab with me. So whatever. And he was going to be there. Awesome. I show up to the show. Sabrina and I were really good friends. Like we were buddies, like very good friends. For context, I was 18. She was 28. This girl was 10 years older than me.
Damn, that's how old we are right now.
Yes. She was 28. I was barely 18, like maybe a month into being 18. Okay, so I was really young. I had never had like a proper adult boyfriend. I didn't really know. I was very innocent in the way that I interacted with men at that time because I kind of just, I don't know. For some reason, I always looked at guys in their 30s and thought that they were like off limits.
Right.
I don't know. So I didn't really think anything of it. Long story short, I'll stop yapping. Essentially, Sabrina goes on. Everyone's having a good time. She meets us backstage and she introduces me to the head of the label, the main guy who runs the label, who put the whole show on.
Okay.
He goes, hey, Brooke, come with me because the DJ I want you to work with is on right now. His set's on. Come with me so we can go watch him and like check out his vibe.
Ooh, and you're like, this is it. This is my big break.
Legitimately, I'm thinking, oh, we're going to go look at the music he makes so that I can get a vibe of like what we would be working on together.
Right.
I'm thinking legitimately that that's what this was. I'm like, great.
Oh, I can tell where this is going.
Him and I go into the center stage, like the center of the crowd, and we're standing there. I'm thinking nothing of it. Out of nowhere, this Sabrina girl barrels through the crowds and she takes her acrylic nails, her long acrylic nails, and digs them into my skin so intensely that I start bleeding and yanks me away from him, pushes me up against a wall. Okay. She is blackout drunk, has a bottle of wine in her hand. I don't know how she got it.
She probably stole it.
And she's wielding it around, like kind of like talking with her hands, like getting really animated, cussing me out, getting in my face because she, unbeknownst to me, was like dating or wanted to date that guy, but he didn't want to date her. So he was kind of leading her on. And she thought,
as the DJs do.
Yes. And I'm sure that was his intention. I just genuinely didn't know because I was young and naive. And I was
looking, you're also 18.
I just did it. And I was like very unfamiliar with the concept of like someone using a professional opportunity as a means of like taking advantage of you. That really wasn't registering with me at that
especially
time.
Especially big DJs like that. They know like, oh, if I get this blondie on my hands, she's going to think that I'm her big break, but really I'm just going to get in her pants tonight and get over it.
And that's definitely probably what was like the intention. I just was genuinely blissfully unaware. Sabrina's getting in my face, cussing me out. And I looked at her and I said, you are being a crazy bitch. I would not touch that bald 40-year-old man if I had $1 million. He's all yours, babes. Don't worry about it. If you don't get your hands off me right now, this is like, get your hands off me. I may have underestimated the fact that she was 30 times crazier than I am. I'm not that crazy. Like, I'm
and
not.
She was blackout drunk, it seems.
She takes the bottle of wine, goes like this. Thank God my guy friend saw her do it, who also knows the girl, takes the bottle out of her hand and kind of like gets me out of the way. Long story short, the girl ends up getting kicked out. She was belligerent. It was a whole thing. But it was like, it was a moment in time.
And I have to say about that is, could you imagine being our big age, being blackout drunk at a club, fighting an 18-year-old because your dusty man wants her?
Picture this too, Morgan.
Oh, we don't envy you.
Her and I had sleepovers. Like, her and I hung
out. Were friends with her?
Yes, we were friends. We had sleepovers. We.
Oh, I thought she was a total stranger.
We were friends. So she's like, I know you're young, but you should know better than this, Brooke. Like, you don't fucking do that. And I'm sitting there like, first of all.
You're like, I'm listening to the music. Like,
what are you talking
about? I'm here for the sound of music.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was the time I got into a physical altercation with a girl.
Thank God she didn't do anything to that beautiful blonde head.
Can you effing imagine, like, totally clobber me over the head?
Someone goes, nope. You probably could have sued her for a lot. You probably could have cashed that cow out. She had
bigger fish to fry.
She really does.
Bless her heart.
Seems like rehab might be the first stop.
Bless her little heart.
Well, that's your life lesson, ladies and gentlemen. A man is not worth fighting over in a club.
Absolutely not.
Especially a DJ.
He wasn't even the DJ. He was just like the label manager. Hell, he doesn't even have musical talent.
You freak. Damn, I've never been in a physical altercation, but I could have with the lady at the post office. What's the craziest thing you've done while drinking?
I know mine.
I know mine. It was when I drank shots of Fireball and rolled off the back of my parents' counter and chipped my tooth.
Pop and top and drop.
Or it was Las Vegas John Smith. We're getting personal.
Right. When I hooked up with a stranger in Las Vegas that told me his name was John Smith, but that wasn't because I was drunk.
No, of course not. Mine was when I had two glasses of wine the first time I visited you in Colorado.
Oh, you're going to tell them? We've been baiting this for so long. You're going to tell them? I am so excited.
I think we've told them.
I don't think we have.
I think we've told them. I swear we've told this. I didn't know. If this is a story repeat, our bad. But I didn't know that it was the first time I visited Morgan in Denver. And I was probably 22 or 23.
And freshly single.
Freshly single.
From a long relationship that was way too long.
Way too long. And it was just, and... Long story short, I didn't know that altitude impacted you differently when you drink alcohol. And it was like the first time Morgan and I were like having adult drinks out at a bar.
Right. Because we kind of missed it during COVID. When we turned 21, yes. We were in lockdown.
So we're in Happy Camper in Denver. And I'm like, I'm going to take it slow tonight. Like, we've got a weekend ahead of us. I'm just going to take it light and slow.
And then somehow we get a bucket with a rubber duck on top.
There was a bucket with a rubber duck. It was a whole thing. And I was like, I am the queen of restraint. I'm going to have two glasses of Chardonnay. And I was proud of myself. I stood up and I was shit-faced. I was so drunk. Embarrassing. And there might have been two construction workers who were off shift, still in their vests, who came over to us, plopped their helmets on the counter, and were chatting us up. And that seemed like a really good idea. So we talked to them all night, and one thing leads to another. And at the end of the night, they were following us to walk us to our Uber. Thank God it was still like when COVID was letting up. So you still like wore masks.
We had our bright blue, beautiful masks on.
We had masks on. And he goes, wait, don't leave. And I turn around and he kissed me through my effing mask. And I woke up the next morning to like 50 Snapchats from this individual who was putting me on his Snapchat story, tagging me while listening to one of my songs, and said, "My future wife is so talented."
Let the record show two things. Number one, the problem was not that they were construction workers. The problem was that they got off work, decided to go to the bar in their hard hats and neon vests. We couldn't have packed a change of clothes, brothers. Brother,
he slept in his vehicle, woke up the next morning in the same getup, and drove to the site.
With your music playing. Thanks for the stream. Number two.
Thanks for the support, King.
Life lesson from my mother. If you happen to be in a high altitude state such as Utah or Colorado, yeah, two glasses of wine equals five glasses of wine.
Oh, hell. Well, Vicky, and where were you?
And you learn that once the hard way, and you then do. You never have to learn it again. But I was looking at you kissing the construction worker on the side of the street, and I was scared for my little life. And I said, it is time for us to get on home to grandma because she is shucking his corn as we speak.
Yeah, that was a learning lesson for me. That was a learning lesson, and I never did it again. Listen, no,
see, you have to learn the hard way. Have to touch the stove to know that it's hot.
My mom is going to be so pissed at me. She's gonna be like, are you literally kidding me?
Well, you have to keep in mind that we had a delay because when we were young and 21, mm-hmm, and that's when you usually have your crazy outings, everything was closed.
So, and I was also in like a relationship prison. And so I got out and I was like, the world is my, what do you mean I can do anything I want?
You were wrong. Free. She was a free bird.
Yep. Your turn, lady.
Spill. What was your harshest rejection romantically? Ooh.
You a sip, girl?
I wanted to be a shiksha so damn bad. I wanted to Shabbat Shalom. I wanted to make the challah bread on the Friday. I have a Sabbath mode on my fridge, and I was like, this is so effing cool. I'm going to be the coolest Jewish wife you ever did see. I was ready to convert. I liked a man so much, I learned an entire damn religion in the span of 2 weeks. You want me to get two fridges? I'll do it. You want me to be kosher? I'll do it. Suddenly, the mom says that we have irreconcilable, is that the word?
Irreconcilable.
We have irreconcilable differences. Damn it. And I'm still looking.
That was a hard one.
Where the hell's my husband? There's a viral clip of Alex Cooper, and she is telling everybody that her biggest life advice is to marry a Jewish man. And I support that. Brooke went to New York recently, and then she reported back to me because she got to see a Friday night in New York City with all the Jews walking to the synagogue. And she said, Morgan, you know what? I get it.
No, I get it. I was recently at Downer, but I was recently at a Jewish funeral of a dear family friend. And the Jewish people do community like nobody else. And I think it is so beautiful.
I think they teach their men very well.
I would agree.
And I think a lot of them treat their wives very well. Obviously there's people.
It's a generalization.
Generalization because there's people all across the world that treat their wives well and people all across the world who do not, regardless of race, religion, any of that.
Would love for you to find someone like if they were Jewish is like, that is the non-issue. I can't wait for you to find a man who is so effing down bad for you that they literally like kiss the ground you walk on.
You know what? If they will take the trash down the street for me on Friday, that might be enough for me.
Bars in hell. Bars in hell. Great.
Brooke is not the rejected. Brooke is the rejecter. Next.
Have you ever squirted?
No, tell I think about it's it. Fake. Nobody can convince me biologically that it is real. I believe that everyone who says it is real is lying. And if you have a claim against me, I need it in paragraph form. And I need
MLA format.
I need an MLA format submission of how you got there and how it happened because I
cite your sources.
I believe that they are peeing.
I saw a TikTok of a porn star doing a confession, and she said that squirting is real, but that is really, really rare and difficult to achieve, and that 80% of 20% of the time, is 80/20? Is that the math?
I think, yeah, I think they're both the 80, same.
90, 100. Yeah, okay. 80.
And don't you forget, my friend is the smartest person that I know.
Oh, shit. I can't flipping Juma. Anytime you're like, you're so smart, all I think in my head is, oh my God.
Have you ever seen my brother? And I try to do multiplication when we go to LA next month. Ask my brother 7 times 7.
We should all do a multiplication test. I would love that.
My brother is going to fail and I will come in second place.
I will come in dead last.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
Brooke, you have not seen my brother try to do basic math.
You haven't seen me in damn near tears trying to calculate the tip on a receipt. It's bad. Anyways, you can't have it all, you guys. I don't think my brother knows
that times zero always equals zero. And this isn't a drag. I would only state this if he has publicly stated it. There is one person that is worse at math than anyone. And he is a dear talent at everything else. Yeah. I tell everyone, my brother is a life force. Just don't ask him for multiplication questions.
You can't have it all. But what was I talking about?
And I'm an idiot too. Oh, 80/20.
This porn star says that like 20% of the time it's real. It happens. The magical juices arrive. But the other 80%, she's straight up pissing. She goes, I'm straight up pissing. Like so deadpan. And it was the funniest TikTok I've ever seen.
Listen, you know who my dream guest on my podcast is? There is a girl that I follow. Her name is Ari. She lives in Washington. She is an OnlyFans star. And I think she is so damn cool.
Is that the one dating Young Gravy?
Yes.
I love her.
If I could hang out with her for one day, I think I would pay her.
Dude, she has secrets. Like tits
she
and
has
trit.
So many secrets. I would love to ask her so many questions.
Dude, have you seen our
makeup? We follow
tutorials?
Each other on Instagram.
Shut up. DM
I know.
Her.
I'm too nervous.
Fine.
Fun fact
her.
About me. I am too nervous because we all know I assume that everybody hates me. A few of the Mormon wives followed me and I was too nervous to say anything, even though everyone knows I'm the biggest diehard fan
they
ever.
Wouldn't follow you if they hated you.
Ari followed me. I about shat my pants. And then what do I do with that information? What? I'm like, I get too nervous and I don't know what to do.
Girl, you have to, for us, for them, you have to, because we need to know.
We need tips.
Fine.
Tell us how to gravy someone.
Her makeup is the most, if you've never seen her makeup tutorial, it is like mesmerizing.
I will stand behind this. Every time I see her, I think to myself, I think that is the most beautiful woman alive. She is, when I look at her, I'm like, I just don't believe that you exist in this world.
That's how I feel about Miranda from Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Her too. She is so effing hot.
If I could close my eyes and be like, I want to wake up as her. I would want to wake up as her or that model I follow on Instagram.
The blonde
fairy
one.
This girl who like has a last name, the length of the Nile River. And she is the prettiest person I've ever seen.
Next. Damn.
When was the last time you cried and why?
I've had a very joyous month.
I love that.
I haven't cried in a bit.
Hear me out, podcast viewers. Lock in with me for one moment, please. If you do one thing that I tell you to do, go see Project Hail Mary, the new Ryan Gosling movie. It is flipping phenomenal. 10 out of 10 film. And it ends very happy. That is a key. I am sick of depressing movies. It ends so happy, but there is about 20 minutes in this movie. I have not cried like that in a theater experience, in a movie experience. I don't even know. I look over, Jacob is crying. Like there isn't a dry eye in the theater. And it's not like depressing tears. It's just, it is so moving. Phenomenal. But I saw that movie last week and was brought to tears. And my military husband was also brought to tears.
I need to go see it. I remember mine now. You've jogged my memory because mine was also a movie. I have been on a Titanic kick and I watched the Titanic and I was sobbing. And then I was like, why am I having such an emotional day? And I was texting people being like, I'm just having an emotional day. And then I started my period the next day and I was like, oh, that's, it always checks out, yeah. Doesn't it? You're like, why is everything terrible?
Yeah. Mystery solved.
Oh, I love the movie, The Titanic. It's amazing.
I really can't wait to see it.
I'm going to literally strap you down to a chair and make you watch
it. Listen, you don't even have to convince me. I am here and I'm going to watch it. Just like I'm going to watch Stranger Things someday because you love it.
Oh, I love it so much. But yeah, I don't have any good, I don't have any good drama to share about my tears this month. But that's a great thing, isn't it?
That is a,
what
a
blessing. Finally, she stopped crying.
What a blessing.
Oh.
She's out of the chicken coop.
Tell the story of how you lost your virginity. And mine is already plastered all over the internet for everyone to see. TLDR, if you missed that chapter, I was taken to my place of work at night, the Aurora Reservoir, and a man threw my clothes in the reservoir and said, if you do not have sex with me, I will not get you your clothes. You have to get your clothes. And it was not a pleasant experience for me. And then guess what? I didn't get my clothes from the reservoir and I had to go to my parents' house sopping wet and with only a t-shirt that I don't know whose it was. Horrible experience. Would 10 out of 10 would not recommend.
We've established that you're a victim, right?
You know, maybe that's the only thing that I haven't victimized myself in, because I've done a pretty good job at doing it everywhere else.
And I'm gonna give you the victim sticker, because that is actually unacceptable and heinous.
And we were coworkers, but not really coworkers, because I worked at the Aurora Reservoir. I was a lifeguard and he worked at the boat beach, which was a separate thing. Like we had a different boss than the people that worked at the boat beach. So I didn't think I was crossing work boundaries. Yeah. He invited me to go to the fair. I
love the fair.
As a person who hates most things, I effing love a fair.
You do.
You know what? Maybe I need to stop going to fairs with men.
You know what? That's interesting you say that.
Maybe it's ruining the joy for me, because I'm always, it's kind of like Christmas. You know how a lot of people have, me and my brother used to have holiday meltdowns because the anticipation is always greater than the actual reality. Mm. And then you're always disappointed. I think my anticipation for the fair is always way too high. And then it always gets ruined. But I thought we were going to the fair. Then he said, let's go. I'm going to show you my favorite place on the reservoir that only I know about, because I'm a super secret veteran employee. Next thing I know, all of my clothes are in the freezing water. Not all of my clothes, but enough of my clothes for me to not be acceptable to walk. Because we were playing a game. Like, what's the game where, like, you have to take off a piece of clothing?
Strip poker.
Something like that. One of those games where it's like, you tell the truth or strip or something. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, not a great experience. So if you think that everyone's experience for the first time is great and magical, it's not. And guess what? It does get better.
Mine was also legitimately heinous. And I'm not even going to depress y'all with it.
Most people that I talk to, I would say 9 out of 10 people, their first experience has never been good.
I know a couple that have had good ones, and they have such a healthy relationship with sex. And I really believe that your first time can really set the tone. And my tone was messed up.
Damn, me too, I guess.
Rats. Well, cheers to things getting better, girl.
Clink. And I didn't squirt in the reservoir, you nasties.
How would you know?
How would you know?
How would you know? Really? This is what I was laughing about.
Something tells me this is personal.
Realistically, how much money would someone have to pay you to get back together with your ex?
Screw me over? Well, don't worry. I give unlimited chances.
It's not like me.
You have unlimited tries over here.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you again. Fool me 3 times, don't worry about it. I'll always forgive you.
Is that not me?
You are a loving girl.
I don't hold on to anger these days. I let it go. So for me, it wouldn't cost a lot.
Mm.
What about you? Well, Brooke has a far different experience than I.
I have 2 exes. That's it. And there was 1 ex, and you know which one you are, because I know the other one's watching still.
Hey.
The other one, you legitimately, there's not enough doubloons in the world.
And isn't that an amazing representation of your growth?
Girl, day one of that relationship being over, I was like, never.
Next.
That one was a no-go. But yeah, I thought that was a funny one, because I sat there and I contemplated. I was like, how much money? And I was like, there's not enough.
Which I think in a case like yours, that is the only acceptable answer.
Yeah.
Sip, if you've ever kept an ex's streaming service login even after you broke up.
They all had mine.
I had a login to somebody's streaming service, specifically Disney Plus. Said man goes and he tells me that he can't hang out tonight because he's dog sitting for his parents. Ladies, does that not seem suspicious? Friday night, you're going dog sitting for your parents. You're telling me the dogs can't be alone for 2 hours because we had had like a date planned. This was years and years and years ago.
Oh,
we okay. had had a date planned. Cancels. I'm dog sitting. I said, okay, that cool. What are you doing instead? Like, what are you, how are you going to entertain yourself? Oh, I'm going to watch something on Disney Plus. Told me the series he was watching on Disney Plus. Every hour I clocked into his Disney Plus to make sure that he was watching the damn show because I thought there is no way that this man is sitting in his parents' house watching Disney Plus right now. And he was.
Let me tell you something about my friend Morgan.
If you don't want me to know what you're watching, don't log into your shit on my TV.
There is not a secret you can keep from this girl. She will find out. You are so resourceful. I wouldn't have ever thought to like even do that.
And what does that say about me?
You are resourceful.
Or is that an insecurity thing?
I think you have skills and you use them. Like I see no problem with that.
I have qualifications and I put them to use. What's wrong with that?
I think that that's impressive.
Thank you.
This is too saucy.
Say it.
Who here do you think is the best in bed?
Oh, Brooke, for sure. I'm a star. I starfish. I don't have any desire to do anything else. Like, seriously. If you are blessed to get into my honey hole and you think I'm going to do the work, you're wrong. And everyone that has ever been anywhere near me could tell you that. And guess what? They always come back. I've never not had one come back. If I'm feeling real special for it, like if it's your birthday, fine, I'll try. But majority of the time I'm laying and I'm looking at the ceiling and that's what you're going to get.
Listen, I love that about you. I do.
No, there's some exceptions. It's not my only choice, but I think Brooke's a lot more creative and a lot more mobile than I. You do not imagine being mid-session with someone and having a back spasm. Sick.
Oh, has that happened to you?
No, because
You would never put yourself in that position. How much would someone have to pay you to shave your head? No wigs allowed.
I think I would do it. I remember in my middle school, there was like a charity that would come and people would shave their heads to like raise money for the kids with cancer. And it was like, if you shaved your head, they would donate $1,000 to at the school that had cancer. I could see myself doing something like that for fun, for kicks and giggles. Realistically, like, I mean, I have a laundry list of things. Okay. This is what I would need.
I know. Yeah, actually, so there is a list.
Brooke and I have decided I need a hot tub.
Yep.
Not only do I need a hot tub, I need a stand for the hot tub.
Yep.
Not only do I need a stand for the hot tub, I need someone to deliver the hot tub. Okay, so we're looking at like 15 grand.
And a gazebo over it.
And so we're looking at like 20 grand for the elite setup.
Right.
Then I need a golf cart because, like I said, taking my trash out is a chore. Getting the mail is a chore. I need a golf cart.
That could also double as a snowplow.
That could also double as a snowplow. Okay, now we're looking at like $30,000. Yep. And what I've decided also today is I would really love a new couch because mine is looking kind of yellow. If you get a real bougie one, say that's like 10. If you would hand me over $40,000 cash or buy all of my things for me, sure.
Buy all of them, install all of them, and you just had to do nothing.
Period.
Yeah.
That's what would do it for me. Mm. What about you?
I have had to grow my hair back from basically scratch, like bob up to the chin scratch when I had my hair over processed in a salon.
Oh, the melted hair gate.
Where all of my hair anxiety started. And so when I had all my hair melted off and I had to just literally start over because my hair, it was longer than it is now. And that's like I had to start all over. It took about to get it all back healthy. Because think about it too, all the hair on my head that was up to my chin was still all damaged. So I had to grow all that out, consistently cut it so that it would like, so that it wouldn't break off the new hair. That whole process to get my hair back to what it was took about 4 years.
Damn.
Like,
that's a lot of time. Because
I like to have like long hair. So I, and it's so much work to grow your hair back. It just is. Because there's all these awkward periods and like, it's very mentally taxing. So for fun, I don't think I could. But for charity, I think I could definitely be convinced. But for fun, I don't think I have it in me.
You know what? Context is everything. You have long, luscious hair. That's all yours. Under this wig of mine is literally comparable to coleslaw. So it wouldn't take a lot for me to get it back, whereas it would take you a good 5 years to get that back.
And I don't even know. Valid. I saw this thing like the older you get, the harder it is to grow your hair long because your hair isn't the same.
You gotta savor that.
You just gotta protect it. We were on live on the Tron the other day. And someone was like, Morgan, like, what is your hair care routine? She goes, well, my real hair is this. And she pulled one strip.
Oh, so my real hair, you can see it. It's right here. The rest of this.
She's, this is my real hair. And it was like a noodle of your hair. And I thought it was so funny.
No, everyone knows my family was not blessed with the good hair genetics. That's why in my pursuit of finding a surrogate dad, I, on my list of things is they must have good hair genetics because... Unfortunately, really nice. Sorry, mom and dad, ours are not good. My brother would tell you this.
You got good lots of other stuff. You have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen.
Thank you. That is so nice.
My mom says that too. Whenever I was with her, when someone asked like, oh, like who has the most beautiful eyes you've ever seen? She goes, Brooke's friend, Morgan.
Oh, your mom is the sweetest thing on planet Earth.
She is a sweetheart.
How will you know you've made it in life?
I really want to be a mom.
That's so funny. I was picturing me sitting on my front porch with a nice, good-looking husband who takes out the trash on Friday and four little bambinos running around my barn picking up pine cones.
Yes, I want
the grass is green. I don't have to mow the grass.
Yeah, I want four too.
Four bambinos.
Four healthy, awesome babies. I would love that.
Yeah, I think... I'm getting to a point where it feels less about monetary value and more about the people that you surround yourself with. Because my grandma, you guys, and I know that there's a big debate about people having kids so that you have company later in life. My grandma is the most popular person I know. Her phone is blowing up all day because all of her kids call her every single day. She doesn't have a moment of silence.
That's how you know that you're a good mom though. When people like care about you later in life.
That is so true. That is so true. But my grandma built an army. And she always says, whenever we all get together, she says, I started this whole mess.
She's so funny. She's so funny.
Don't forget, I started this whole mess.
I know that's right.
So that's my dream, is to be like my grandma and have a bunch of bambinos running around.
Me too. And have a house next door to you.
Ooh, la la.
With a secret tunnel underneath that connects us.
That our husbands don't know about.
They go, where do you disappear to? You go nowhere.
Don't worry about it. My bathtub.
You're like, nothing. It's the Pilates studio. What's your biggest ick when dating somebody new? Or what was your biggest ick with someone from the past?
This is a hard question. Because there could be a lot that are like little things, but there's also big ones. Are we talking big things or little things?
Either, I guess. I think a big ick is something you can't get over. A little ick is something you can look past.
A big ick and a little ick for me is if a man doesn't tip well at a restaurant.
Mm.
How we treat other people in our community and how we support other people says a lot about us.
Mm.
So I like a man that is generous.
Big ick. What's little ick?
Little ick? Ugh. Turn the damn phone ringer off. If I have to hear a... every time one of your bros texts you in your group chat that is blowing up 400 miles a minute about a stupid game. Why do men not turn off the text tone? Why? Ooh, or even worse. If you go to dinner with someone and they're on their phone, ew. Yuck. I hate that.
That's a big
I think you could learn, you know why going to dinner is the best first date? Because you can learn so much about someone. You can see their dinner etiquette. You can see how well-mannered they are when they eat. They can see how their conversation skills are. You can see how they treat strangers. I think it's a really good thing.
That is a good first date. The biggest ick, I would say I don't have like a ton of dating experience because I was a big, I was a relationship girl.
Chronic relationshiper over here.
Big relationship girl. Well, I would get into relationships and I'm just like so like loyal. My brain didn't think I could do anything else. Mm-hmm. So I would get into the relationship and then just be like, well, I'll make this work. But when I was single in Dallas, I was single in Dallas for about like 5 months and I crammed about 4 years of dating into those 4 months. I was on the apps. I would go on a date with anybody. I was like, I just wanted to see what was out there. And like, I knew that I would go to dinner. I would learn about these individuals and then I would take my happy ass home. Like because I wasn't looking for anything serious. So there was I went in so no expectation. That I was genuinely having fun, which I think is a fun place to be.
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to date.
Yeah, and that's the mindset I was in when I met my husband, was very much in like, I'm all about me right now, and he was all about him. And then we met, and I was like, oh shit.
Oh, we're down bad for each other.
But there was a date that I went on. It is one of my most infamous dates because I cannot believe it. He was like a real person. Picture this. I think I told you about this date from hell, but essentially I meet him out at a club. It was on Halloween that I met him and he played basketball at the YMCA that my sister's boyfriend played basketball at. And he asked my sister's boyfriend, now fiance, hey, would you introduce me to that girl? And he's like, oh, that's so funny. That's my girlfriend's sister. Sure thing. So he brings this guy over to me and he's like, Brennan's like, Brooke, this is my friend. Like, we play basketball together. Y'all should go out.
We got a basketball game at 7.
Yeah. So he ends up getting my number. Great texter. Phenomenal texter. Also, a very pretty person. He was like 6'5", dark hair, blue eyes. Hey, hey, hey. Like ripped. Like he was on paper, very like a good candidate. But he was 32 at the time. I was 20. Okay. I was 20.
So he's got a decade on you.
I was 24. And I was like, 32 looking the way that you do with the conversational skills that you have, what's wrong with you?
Well, Dallas, you are also an advanced socializer. You need to be with an advanced social person because you are advanced in the social department.
His banter was unlike anything. He was so clever. He was so engaging. Like he had the sauce. So I'm like, especially Dallas is the land of get married. Like everyone in Dallas, like the men take it very seriously. The women take it very seriously. Like it's very rare that you meet someone in their 30s who is not married like by accident, if that makes sense. Like if you want to find someone, I would say it's fairly easy to find like another person.
Yeah. Because people are looking to get married.
Yeah. And so it's like the culture of the city. Regardless, he asks me to dinner at 7 p.m. at Mi Casina, if you know what that is in Dallas. Mexican restaurant. We sit down at the table, okay? The waitress comes over. He picks the restaurant also because it's attached to his building that he lives in. Red flag. Fine. Whatever. Waitress comes over to take our order, okay? Dinner reservation. I haven't eaten dinner. He takes the menu from my hand, hands both menus back to the waitress and says, we're not going to need the dinner menus. We'll just do two Mambo taxis. I looked at him and then I looked at the waitress and said, you can go ahead and bring over some chips and salsa. Thank you. That was a red flag. Okay. That's not even the worst part. So he sits down with me and
I am floored.
Yeah. We're not going to need those. Proceeds to order the most dangerous drink in Dallas, the Mambo Taxi. It is like sangria mixed with tequila. That shit gets you messed up. And I was like, this is not my first rodeo.
I know what your intentions are here.
Yeah, effing right. So I'm sitting there babysitting that drink, munching on these chips. I'm like, you fool. Fine. So he thinks he's really clever. Okay. And he goes, so I have a couple, like, I just think that you strike me as a really intelligent girl. And I was like, uh-huh. And he's like, I just have a couple questions for you. And then he proceeds to start feeding me like these hypothetical questions made to bait me. Like he was trying to bait me into like, I don't really know. Like I had all these assumptions, but it would be like, if we were at a business meeting and someone asked you a question that you didn't know the answer to, what would you do next?
What is this, a job interview?
Yes. Yes, Morgan. He's conducting this as if it's like a job interview.
Did you look at your LinkedIn first?
And I was like,
damn.
I said, I think people really respect humility more than intelligence. So I would say, I don't know the answer to that question. If you do, I would really be grateful for an explanation. I'd love to know more. And he looked at me, he goes, oh, that was a really good answer. I'm like thinking to myself,
what the hell is this?
What is this?
Are you going to offer me a sales associate position at your MLM? Like,
this conversation goes on for like 30 minutes. Okay. Then he gets to this, to the end of it. And he goes, he picks up the bill and he's going on and on and on about the whole day. This is the ick, about how much of an alpha male he was. Verbatim, alpha male. Okay. Now, in my experience, an alpha male is like that, the kind of guy who's like provider mindset. Like, I'm going to provide for my woman. I'm apex. Like, you're beta. You serve me. That's my understanding of an alpha male. Imagine my surprise when said alpha male looks at me and says, do you want to split the bill? And I went,
oh. What happened to the alpha male in the room?
I said,
is the apex predator in the room with us?
I said, sure thing. Like, not a problem. Not a problem. So I put my card down with him. And at this point, I'm like, this is a bit. This is funny to me. Like, I'm going to see what else this man has in store. So he goes, do you want to go to another bar? I said, sure. I said, so what are you looking for in a woman? Like, what is your ideal partner?
Oh, I can't believe you kept going.
Oh God, I was so curious. And it paid off because he says, I'm looking for a queen who does it all. Okay. He proceeds to explain that his mother was the primary breadwinner, homemaker, and like mother of the year, and that he would expect nothing less.
And that's his definition of being an alpha male, yes. apex predator.
So he's like, I hate women who like want to just be a stay-at-home mom someday. I hate them. He goes, I'm looking for someone to build an empire with. And he's thinking this is impressive. And I looked at him, I said, oh, that's so funny you say that. That's literally my dream. I was like, that's literally my dream. He goes, why does it go? He's like, well, you know, and I was like, Carson, this has been really lovely. I'm going to go home. And I went home and I was like, I've never been more icked out by someone in my entire life. Hearing someone go on and on and on and on about an alpha male only to describe, I've never encountered, like, you see those guys online, they're like super alpha male. Like,
if you want to be the alpha male of the year in the alpha male calendar.
I've never met one in real life.
I can tell you, I have learned a very, very, very small but very powerful lesson in my years of doing minimal socialization. I have never met a nice person that has to tell you they're nice. Oh. Never met a funny person that has to tell you they're funny. Never met an alpha male that has to tell you that they're an alpha male. Never met somebody that makes a lot of money that has to tell you that they make a lot of money. And if they're telling you these things, the chances are they're the opposite of that thing and they're overcompensating and you got to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, no, it was... I've never been more icked out by an individual in my lifetime.
That made me think of my greatest, grandest ick. If a man is constantly telling you how much money he has and how successful he is and how rich he is, barf emoji, barf emoji, barf emoji. I didn't ask.
You know what my other one is?
Ooh, tell me.
Guys who tell you everything they're gonna do, but they have no action or no nothing to show for it.
And I'm going to go to space next month, buddy.
Like, I'm going to do this.
I'm going to build an empire.
Be this, or I'm going to achieve
I'm gonna
this.
I'm going to be the CEO of the next big tech company.
Literally. Blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, you are in the same exact seat that you were in 4 years ago. And I'm hearing a lot of this and not a lot of action. And I realized in my years, nothing is more attractive than a man who just does it, who just acts, like doesn't say much, just moves.
Act, don't speak, keep your intentions private.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a significant other that everyone hated?
Yes. Well, actually, no. I wouldn't say he was hated.
I didn't hate any of your significant others.
I don't think he was hated. I just think everyone was like, huh?
I think everyone was confused.
Yeah. Everyone was like, huh?
I don't think I have.
Mm-mm.
I've maybe had acquaintance male friends that people were like, what the fuckity fuck, Morgan?
Yeah. Maybe.
The one that took me in a plane.
And didn't lock the door.
The one that took me to the reservoir and made me swim for my clothes. But none of them were my boyfriends. They were my acquaintances.
Right. Have you ever ghosted anyone?
Probably. I mean, not intentionally. I am such an in-person gal that I am sure that messages have gotten lost, not by mal intent, but just by the fact that I would rather hang out with somebody in person than be text. I do not want to be text buddies.
Yeah.
If you want a text buddy, friend, BFF, pen pal that's going to FaceTime you every day, it's not me.
Call Lizzie.
Lizzie, that is Lizzie's superpower. There is nobody on planet Earth that is a better social friend via text or call communication than Miss Lizzie Gordon. And it's a strength. It really is. It's a superpower that a lot of people have. I do not have that superpower.
I always was in the camp that there was no reason, no good reason that anyone should be ghosted. I always thought it was like this deep, deep crime. I'm like, I wouldn't say I was judgmental about it, but I could not rationally come up with a reason why ghosting would be like the appropriate reaction to do to someone. When I was dating in Dallas, there was a guy who we went on a few dates. We like hung out a few times. It just, again, I was not in a place where I was looking for anything. Like I was really just like meeting people. Like it was very, very casual for me. He wasn't casual.
Mm.
So I let him know, very like open communication. Hey, thank you so much for all the time that we spent together. I had so much fun. I'm not like, we should probably like cut this off. Like, I think you have more feelings than I do. Like out of respect for you, I think this should end because I don't want to hurt you, your feelings or lead you on. Never want to lead anyone on. And he said he accepted it, but then I'm not joking. It turned into this obsessive like cycle where he would text me and kind of like guilt me and like put all his emotional baggage on me. And then I would feel bad because I did care about him. So I'd like entertain it and try and like help him understand and be like compassionate and like be kind. Cause you say it as well, but you're like, you never want to be the person to like hurt somebody. That's right. Never a good feeling. And so I was trying my best. And then he would like write me music and like send me songs. And like, he started calling me and it ended. And I would like, my patience was wearing thin. And the finals, but I was still texting him back because I didn't want to be like cruel.
Just out of, kindness. Yeah,
I didn't want to be cruel to him.
But the thing is, you had already laid your intentions out there. So I don't think that that's ghosting.
Well, the final straw is I come home from a trip and there's a bouquet of like, of like sunflowers on my doorstep.
Well, he's just not getting the message and that's his problem.
And well, he had broken into my apartment building because I had like,
oh, they were inside?
Yes. He had broken into my apartment building, somehow got someone to let him into my unit. I didn't get many answers how he did that.
And I don't think that's worthy of a ghost. I think that's when you call out the police department.
Dude, I called him and I like was like, I have been so fucking patient with you. Do that shit again. And I'm freaking the hell out. And he was like, don't talk to me that way. And he still talked to me and I blocked his ass. I was like,
Brooke, that is valid.
I was like, sometimes But that a very, very, very good lesson to learn when you're dating is sometimes people are just nuts and do not
right.
engage with the crazy. Like if someone is showing you red flag behavior, don't feed it because giving them this much, they will take it and run a mile. It's kind of spooky.
Yeah, I think there, as we say, there is context to everything. When I say I've ghosted people, I think I mean like if somebody sent me a TikTok and I didn't respond.
Oh, that does not count.
I think somebody is
like romantically.
If somebody was showing romantic feelings toward me, I think I would have to say something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I would just ignore somebody forever until they went away. I mean, like when Brooke texts me TikToks, sometimes I don't respond.
And there might be 60 in a row that just like pile up in an inbox. And that is perfectly acceptable. Like, Lella, she would think this is so funny. I send it to her. I know it's an abyss.
For the longest time, I am a grandma. I did not know how to open messages in TikTok because every time you do it, it's just like so, it's not like, it is not as user-friendly as Instagram. I will say it. Can we all agree with that? I opened Brooke's thing because it was like, new message from Brooke. And I was like, I didn't know this was in here. Bro, 99 plus unread TikToks that Brooke sent me. And I was thinking that is the purest form of love that I don't even respond to them. And she still thinks of me and sends them to me knowing that one day I'll find this mysterious folder in TikTok. I know how to get there.
Or you'll never see them, but I can't help myself.
But she thought of me and that was beautiful.
Now I know if I really want you to see something, I send it through Snapchat.
Yes. I see the Snapchat ones and I see the ones you text me. I just don't have TikTok notifications on, so I don't get it until I go looking for it. And then I have a pile of them to look through.
I have a sister TikTok group chat. That thing hits 99 plus notifications within 2 days. And I, there are many days where I'm like, Reese, love you, girl. You need to log off. How possibly many DMs could we have here?
No, it's a form of love. If people will send you Instagram reels, my mom never opens that shit. I send her the best shit ever about the corporate life and la, 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 la. She doesn't even open them.
My mom knows that if she really wants us to see something, she sends it in the whole crew group chat with like all the boys in it too, the significant others. But if she really wants us to see something, she'll send it to our significant others because she knows that they have to do something about it. So Jacob will be like, Brooke, you need to watch this. And it'll be something my mom sent him to show me.
That is precious.
It is. She's persistent.
Protect your mom at all costs.
Persistent.
Should we do one more?
Sure.
The finale. Have you ever catfished anyone or been catfished? I don't think I've dated enough online to be catfished.
I was on the apps once and there was this guy I've been talking to for a few days and we were like really getting along well and I was going to meet up with him. And literally the day I was going to meet up with him, we had plans to meet at this bar like later that day. I get a notification from Hinge and it was like the person you were talking to wasn't real. Their account has been terminated. Like, cease all communication.
Like they had to take action.
Like he was
hinged themselves,
deemed him a predator. Like was like, do not engage with this individual. This is like not, this is not a real person. And I was like, oh
damn. Good on Hinge though for being like SOS. Don't go out with this man.
Like, what happened for that to have like been flagged? It kind of spooked me bad. I was like,
I bet somebody else went on it. I bet multiple people went out with him and reported him.
I
don't know.
Spooky.
That gulp. That is really scary. I will pull one more since. Have you ever had a threesome or an orgy? I have not. I am a one-on-one gal.
Mm-hmm.
I can't starfish for two. Are you kidding me? I can't bend that way.
Why is yours so much louder than mine?
I don't know. Maybe it has fresher batteries.
You're pulling another one. I thought that was the grand finale.
What is the most expensive thing you've wasted money on or regret buying? Ooh, that's a good question. My effing red Balenciaga bag that is god awful, the most ugly thing that I have ever spent money on. I went on a influencer trip to Las Vegas, Nevada. What did all these girls want to do? They wanted to go to Balenciaga. I was young and naive. And when all these girls are saying, Morgan, you need to buy the bag. What did I do? I bought the $3,000 bag. My credit card company flagged me and said, bitch, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, well, I can't look stupid in front of these people. Are? I can't look stupid when everyone else is trying to tell me to buy the damn bag. Ugliest bag ever. Tried to sell it on the RealReal. My $3,000 Balenciaga bag. They said, we'll give you $300 for it.
Damn.
I can't even get rid of it if I wanted to. It haunts me. I see it poking out at me in my closet and I'm like, I keep it in my closet as a sign of Morgan. Just because someone's telling you to buy something doesn't mean that you should.
Valid.
Just because somebody, your friend is in the mall saying you should buy this doesn't mean you have to.
You say, thanks. I'll consider it.
And then I'll think about it. I'll order it online later.
Yeah.
I was a sucker for peer pressure, God. Which it wasn't their fault. It was now I'd be like, I don't want that next. But 21-year-old Morgan, who was very new to the influencer world and really wanted to fit in. And I was very new to LA and I wanted to be cool like all the other cool girls. And they were older than me. So I wanted to fit in with the bad YouTube girls, you know, not their fault. I just didn't know better.
Yeah. You didn't know what your taste was either. You didn't know that like that wouldn't be something that you reached for like 5 years later.
Yeah. I was like, James Charles has the same one in a different color. It must be cool.
Yeah.
And look what happened to Balenciaga.
I know that's right.
Tanked. I actually have never seen a company tank so damn bad.
Because of their weirdness, girl.
Their weird child that predator was shit.
So weird.
So weird.
Mm-mm. No me gusta. I think the thing I've spent so much money on that I always end up regretting, I have insanely sensitive skin. Like insanely sensitive skin.
She has sensitive hair and sensitive skin.
Like if you've ever noticed, like in filming sometimes, my whole chest will get red and my neck will get red and it happens like randomly. Do not know why. Like it sometimes happens when I'm hot, sometimes when I'm flustered or get worked up. Like my skin just is super sensitive and I've spent so much money on skincare products that like at Sephora have like the best marketing and like
the beautiful packaging
and all the girls on like line will be like, this is the best product for me. And I try it and my skin melts off and freaks out. And like my rosacea flares up and it's a whole thing. The only thing that's ever worked for me. Every time I try and switch it up, I have to go back to super, super, super sensitive. Like, what is it? Like La Roche-Posay.
Yeah.
The best brand of all time. Or like CeraVe. Like I can't. Anytime I try and switch it up and get fancy with it and spend money, because that shit's expensive.
It's so expensive. I think a lot of, because skincare is so hot right now too, a lot of these things are very gimmicky.
Yes.
And most dermatologists will tell you all you need is a little CeraVe and a little sunscreen and be on your way.
That really is the truth. Like anytime my skin's freaking out, if I take everything away that I'm using and just use cleanser and moisturizer, it clears up.
Yeah. People be making you think that they have, that you have to do the most. Mm-hmm. And just remember when people are telling you that they have to, you have to buy the product that they're telling you to buy, they're getting 10% commission.
I'm not that so rat. Except somebody, for the product we're linking down below because that shit's just for that good. Dr.
Jart, that shit slaps.
That shit's just that good. I swear to you. There are certain people on the internet that I feel like have worked hard to grow a reputation of right. authenticity. Like for example, I was scrolling on TikTok and Tana was like, I have never, like, I don't do this. This product, she showed like 10 empty bottles. She's like, this is the sunscreen I use in Hawaii. Like, this is my jam. And like, she worked with a brand and got like a 10% off code. I would buy that sunscreen.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
You like, can tell when it's genuine and yes. It's like, Amazon's having a spring sale. Buy everything right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love the product empties videos. That's when you know a bitch loves something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Those are so good.
That's what, if you can go through an entire product or something, okay, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
So be agreed. Careful out there.
Yeah.
There's predators trying to get your money.
Ooh.
Money sharks. No, I mean, it's a good way to make money. All the Amazon influencers are going to be mad at me. It's a great business tactic. All I'm saying is if you have sensitive skin, seek out people who also have sensitive skin. If you,
yes,
maybe watch a few reviews, you know, mm-hmm. Agreed. Before you waste your hard-earned money on things.
And just know, you rarely need something.
And Dr. Jart is the best shit of all
time. Now you do need that.
I'll link it below.
Now I'm not gonna lie to you, you do need that. But you rarely need something. Like typically everything you see online, it's gonna, even though it feels like a need, you just want it. And that's valid. That's okay. But don't stress yourself out too bad over a product you see online, please.
Well, this has been so much fun. This was so time much fun. Really flew today.
I can't even believe it.
Every time I look at the clock today, it says 33:33, and I feel like it's our lucky sign that things are getting better. It's April. Ooh la la. Well, I hope you guys have fun chatting with us.
And if you're not sick of us yet, where can they find us?
Oh, you can find us every Saturday. We have a live drop, an extended version, 30 to 40 extra minutes of us chit-chatting. And we talk about things that we can't talk about here for monetization and legal purposes.
And we drop the F-bomb, no censor.
And we say so many swear words.
We're free from the shackles of the algorithm. I love it there. I can swear like a trucker and my mom will get mad at me.
Well, we love you guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Don't forget to like and subscribe and leave us a comment below telling us, I don't know.
What fun product would you bring on a deserted island? Influence everyone in the comments below.
Ooh, influence us. Sell us on something. Give us your sales pitch.
Give us your best sales pitch.
Love ya. Bye.